CBS NewsHour's Judy Woodruff and Gwen Ifill, along with NPR host Rachel Martin, are anchoring the special coverage from the GOP National Convention in Cleveland each evening from 8 to 11 here on WAMC. The coverage got underway last night and continues tonight. PBS NewsHour correspondent Lisa Desjardins joins us this morning from Cleveland to discuss what happened last night on the floor, what could happen tonight, and what these candidates and conventions are saying. Lisa, good morning, and thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Well, what did you make of last night?
You know, I think it was, I think it had some high points, and I think it had a lot of low points. You know, Melania Trump was certainly someone that everyone was waiting to see, and her speech was very well received on the convention floor. But of course, you know, we see this morning the headlines talking about the similarities between her speech and now First Lady Michelle Obama's speech. And I think that that obviously is not the, what the Trump campaign wanted this morning from that speech. I think that Rudy Giuliani had had probably the strongest speech of the night. He really had that crowd in his hands. He had them. I saw some of them standing on chairs, cheering, talking about security. He's a man who knows how to get Republicans revved up, and he did it on the floor last night. I also thought the other standout moment in a positive way was David Clark, the sheriff who spoke about being a police officer and law enforcement. And when he said, "Blue Lives Matter," that was the most electric reaction from the crowd the entire night, and in a statement supporting law enforcement. And I think we're as Donald Trump talks more and more about his theme of law and order, I think we're going to see more voices like that in this campaign. On the other hand, the rest of the speakers, honestly, I didn't feel like they made much of a mark. The crowd enjoyed them. There was no one who really fell completely flat. Toward the end of the night, after Melania's speech, the arena emptied. There really was not a great big crowd for Joni Ernst and sort of the future of the party speakers. But you know, I think we'll see what happens the rest of the week.
One of the things that we've been hearing, of course, is, well, an attempt for party unity and the great divides between the Republican Party. Do you get that sense at all among the delegates and among those in the convention?
Absolutely. I think that there is even a divide over the divide. There are many delegates who say, oh, the media is making too much of this, that really there's not a great big divide. We are all united, especially against Hillary Clinton. But to be honest, talking to the many different groups that are at this convention, I think that might be the only point of unity among Republicans, is that they do not want Hillary Clinton to win. There are many there who do not think Donald Trump is the right direction for this party, and they've been trying to in some way voice that, and initially they were trying to even upend this nomination. That effort seems like it has failed, and they lost a critical rules vote last week, and they lost another vote on the floor yesterday. But I think what stands out is we had delegations shouting, trying to get a roll call vote yesterday, hands raised, fists raised against their own convention chairman. You know, and that's certainly a sign that there's a big divide in the party, not just about Donald Trump, but there's also a divide over the role of the RNC officials in Washington who run the Republican Party and the grassroots activists who live in the rest of the country, places like Colorado, that they feel they're being sort of squashed by the party. And that's a real issue that the Republicans have yet to completely address.
Give us a sense of what is on tap for tonight and what we can expect.
Right. Well, I think, you know, tonight the theme is Make America Work Again. So we're going to talk, I think we're going to hear a lot about jobs. We're going to hear about Donald Trump, the businessman, from his business colleagues. And this is an important night because security and economy right now, those are the big two issues for the American public. That is how voters are making up their minds. And they hit security last night, tonight jobs. You know, we have Mr. Trump talks about how he is going to bring jobs to the country, but we haven't heard a lot of specifics other than on trade. So I think it'll be very interesting tonight to see if we get any more information sort of about direction on Mr. Trump's plan.
Well, on that, did we hear a lot last night when it came to specifics, even when it comes to law and justice?
That's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. We didn't. It really was talking broad themes, talking about just in general law and order. You're right.
So at what point, and I ask this as a serious question, as I'm sure you understand, but, you know, at what point do you have to come up with that information, do you think?
Right. No, that's right. I mean, I think that the Donald Trump campaign is running a campaign like no other. And all the things that many campaign consultants had said were true in the past, he's defied them, and he's still won more than 13 million votes. So there is a real question as to how many specifics does he need to supply. Voters may not be looking for policy this election. They may be looking for a more something less tangible, a leadership quality, character. We see that when people are looking at both of these candidates, questions about their character. And me as a reporter, I really need those policy details. I want to see what are these candidates going to do. But I don't know this election when American voters might feel that way or if they do. This is a very serious time, and there seems to be questions more about the type of leader America wants versus the specifics of what that leader will do. So it's an open question to me on when these specifics have to come. It's my job to push for them, but I don't know if Donald Trump never supplies more specifics. I don't know what that will mean for his campaign.
Being a reporter covering this convention, is it different for you in what you have to do as compared to past conventions?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night, and last night's program and the feeling on the floor reminded me distinctly of a past convention, and it was the 2004 John Kerry convention. I know that's going to sound strange to your listeners. It's a Democratic convention. The candidates are very different, but it had that same feeling of a program that did not quite hit its mark, but yet the convention delegates so wanted this candidate to work. They have so much at stake. They so greatly oppose the other nominee, presumptive nominee, and you could just feel that fire from the delegates really wanting to embrace Donald Trump, wanting to lift him up, but yet there seemed to be it seemed to be not fully realized in the way that I felt also at that John Kerry convention. But, you know, it's just night one. So we'll see the rest of the week what happens.
There certainly seemed to be a very negative feel about the country as a whole. And I wonder about that being a balancing act of obviously trying to show the differences between what the current administration is doing, what perhaps a Hillary Clinton administration would do, and what a Donald Trump administration would do. But do you also do that at the risk of painting this country in a very, very bad light?
That's interesting. I think that's a philosophical question. I would love to hear David Brooks talk about that, or any of our major panels. It's a really good question. It's clear that the Republican Party is looking, when they talk about the problems in America, they're trying to look backward. They're trying to paint these past 8 years as disastrous for America. They see a lot of problems in the Barack Obama administration. They see that they believe that he has made America more weak. The Democrats, on the other hand, they see the problems in a way as more globally related, as related to inequality, related to the lack of congressional action on those kinds of issues, rich versus poor, Wall Street, those kinds of issues. I don't know. I think the rest of the world has been looking at America differently because of this campaign, and I think that might have a lot more to do with Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. But at the core, when I think about this election, I think about just our democracy in general. We certainly have gotten past all manner of candidates. We've gotten past good presidents, bad presidents, and I think when it comes down to it, we have checks and balances for a reason. And so far, the country has navigated some very difficult times because of that. So I sort of always come back to that idea that we have these important checks and balances that have guided us for so long.
Given that the one thing we have learned through this election cycle is the traditional rules do not apply, With that said, one of those traditional rules often is that the conventions really don't matter. They're a good way of setting the table, but obviously a lot happens from July to November. Do you think that's the case here, or is this, because we are talking about Donald Trump, a more important convention?
I have always thought that conventions matter more for the long-term direction of the party. They give you a sense of what the party's viability is, what their strengths and weaknesses are, than necessarily for the candidate that year. I think, like so many things in life, a convention can lead more to a disastrous problem than a great success. I think if there is a major mistake at a convention, that will stay with a candidate just like it will with any speech or any event throughout the campaign. A very successful, the sort of the best you can do with a convention is get probably a few weeks of bump in the poll. At least in recent memory, that seems to be the case. But I think this year's convention is critical to tell us about the Republican Party and their direction in the future. We've seen their platform committee move to the right. They have a more conservative platform than they had 4 years ago, and that's important to look at. At the same time, younger Republicans, we're doing a story on this tonight, they don't agree with their party in general when it comes to things like gay marriage, when it comes to other social causes. And that friction has not been borne out yet, much less the issue of immigration and the problems that Republicans have with the Hispanic demographic that they really need. So to me, all of that is what's so important about these conventions.
Well, would you say that this convention is part of the role of this convention is to lay out the future of the party? From many of the editorials that I have read this morning and the coverage that I have read indicate that many feel that the party is kind of looking to sit this one out and say, all right, we're going to look at 2020 and see what happens. Do you get that sense?
No, I definitely didn't get that sense from the convention floor. I think the delegates here are, for the most part, are backing Trump. There are some who are not, but I think that this convention is all about beating Hillary Clinton. And so we're going to keep you guys updated. It definitely has been such an honor to talk to you this morning. It's a fascinating, fascinating year.
Judy Woodruff is PBS NewsHour's co-anchor and managing editor, and along with Gwen Ifill and NPR's Rachel Martin are anchoring the coverage on PBS, and the coverage aired here on WAMC each night of the convention from 8 to 11. PBS NewsHour correspondent Lisa Desjardins, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, you can hear the coverage of the convention beginning at 8 o'clock right here on WAMC. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.